Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Ben Coleman, president of Aerospace Management System Institute in Lakeland, Florida, who is today's host.
Welcome back to the 39th annual Sun and Fun here in beautiful downtown Lakeland Linder Regional Airport. I'm Ben Coleman, one of your hosts at the Florida Aviation Network, and it is the official Sun and Fun television network here on the premises today. And I tell you, if you're not here at Sun and Fun watching this on one of the remote sites, if you're sitting in the comfort of your living room, you need to come to the comfort of the ramp and look at what all is going on. There's beautiful aircraft here from all different parts of the world, literally. And we have some of the most interesting people in the world, literally, here. For example, yesterday we had Tim from Down Under, and he had just flown a Sling from California all the way to Lakeland Airport. And that was it was a 20-hour trip. And I had a wonderful time, 15 years old. So that's the type of impact that we want to have here at Sun and Fun. And speaking of impact, we have the pleasure today of having some guests on our set from this Disabled American Veteran Group here in at Lakeland this year at Sun and Fun, Mr. Larry Kelly and Lynn May. And I just get so excited when I get these guys here because the aircraft that they fly around and is just one of the most remarkable feats that you will ever see. Larry, I'm going to start with you, and then we're going to go over to Lynn because she actually makes things happen. She runs the
operation. Well, she's our advance. She makes sure everything's set when we get there.
And all you do is drive the bus, the big aluminum bus.
Well, and if you see all the grease under the fingernails, turn the wrenches too.
You are a B-25 pilot.
Yes, sir.
But Larry, tell us a little bit about your background. What got you kind of involved in aviation and brought you up to this point?
Well, growing up down in South Alabama, my uncle had a little Taylor craft. I mean, just basic grassroots aviation, a little two-seat Taylor craft. And I helped him with that restoration and started flying that little T-cart all around South Alabama back in the late 50s.
Is that where you learned your proper pronunciation of words in South Alabama?
Careful now. I had some drinking stump water as a kid, yeah. But I had some exposure to aviation then, but after I graduated college actually, came down here to Sun and Fun back in the mid-70s, I guess, one of the first ones early on, and then went to Oshkosh, and I was absolutely bit. I had to get this taken care of. I went home, and 8 weeks later, had my private pilot's license, and then, foolishly, I went and bought a Seneca, and, well, now I had to get a multi-engine, and the insurance company says, oh, well, you got to have an instrument rating, so now I got an instrument rating, but Warbirds had always been really my passion, and first bought an old UC-78 Bobcat, the old bamboo bomber.
You still have that airplane?
I still have it, yeah, and we restored that airplane. First time I ever entered in judging an airplane was right here at Sun and Fun, 1990 with that airplane, and won Warbird Best Transport here at Sun and Fun, then again at Oshkosh. But the B-25, it always been sort of this iconic, the ultimate airplane to me. Some people say, well, to them, it's the Model T Ford is their ultimate car. Mm-hmm. Well, to me, it always been the B-25. And after I sold my businesses in 97, I suddenly found myself in a situation where I could afford one. And I called Tom Riley, who you know very well, and I said, Tom, I want to buy a B-25. What's for sale? Well, a week later, I owned Panchito. And the true story, though, is we walked up to that airplane. I said, Tom, how do you get in it? I didn't even know how to get in one, but I suddenly owned one. We flew around for a few years with the airplane doing air shows and other things. We're doing a lot of veterans recognition. We did living history with the airplane and trying to tell the story of the air crew that kept taking these. They're all volunteers that went into the air in World War II. And then 10 years ago, teamed up with some friends that own a company called Air Support, who had been contracted by the Disabled American Veterans to put together an aviation outreach program. The Disabled American Veterans been around since 1920, the oldest and the largest of all the veteran service organizations.
Now you're moving a little bit too quick. You're giving us a lot of information in a very short period of time. Let me roll back, and you just mentioned a very significant date, Larry. I don't mean to trip up your flow, but 1920 is when the DAV was...
was founded, yeah, 1920, 93 years ago. And I have to put in a pitch for Ford Motor Company, because Ford Motor Company has been a major sponsor and supporter of the disabled American veterans since its founding in 1920.
That's remarkable. It really is remarkable when you talk about the the length of the time that this organization has been in process, and how probably so few people know about it.
Well, they do, and that's our job. We're not here to take donations or anything like that. That's what we do is take the message. And, you know, as we were talking with a local reporter here this morning, there's over 1.2 million veterans. Estimate, that's a conservative estimate of disabled veterans that's in our communities, walking the streets right out here in Lakeland, that have service-related disabilities but have not receiving any kind of benefits for it. You know, the 65-year-old veteran of Vietnam who's now developed diabetes because of Agent Orange exposure in 1968. Mm-hmm. Now they went to try to get in, try to get some benefits, try to get services for this, assistance that they've earned with their military service. Well, what our job then is to go around the country to the air show audience, to the air shows. You know, the number one spectator attendance in the country is air shows, not NASCAR, not Major League Baseball, but air shows. And take the message to these veterans all over the country through media outlets, through, you know, wonderful groups like we're doing here right now, and take that message so that people understand the veteran who needs the benefits has got to know where to go to get those services. And all the National Services Officers with the DAV first have to warn the boots. They are disabled veterans before they can even apply for the job of working for the DAV to be able to assist the veterans. 1 year of program training before they ever take their first case. But once they take their case, then they act just like a lawyer does for you. If you're going to court, you don't go in there by yourself, especially not you.
No, I need a whole team of lawyers with me.
But sorry, Ben, I've known you for a long time. But you go and get the best lawyer you can find that has the most expertise in what you need to do. And then, so what the veteran does, it comes to the DAV, because these guys and gals, they have worn the boots, they've trained, they know how to make sure you get your benefits. Big difference, though, and I'm not knocking lawyers. Now, I'm a pharmacist, not a lawyer, but there's never a charge to the veteran. Their service benefits are always free from the DAV. It's the generosity of the American public. It's the generosity of the American industry that supports the DAV through contributions that allow the DAV to provide these services. And services may be, we got fleets of hundreds of vans around the country that are stationed at VA hospitals all over. So if you're a disabled veteran and you can't drive to get to your appointments at a VA clinic, a DAV van with a volunteer driver will come pick you up, take you, and take you back home. Again, free, never a charge.
Now, you just mentioned the term support. What is this lady over here doing as far as support goes?
You know, there's an awful lot of preparation before you get to an air show. Background setup, you know, the simple stuff like setting up hotels and rental cars and making sure all that stuff is in place, fuel. But also setting up and working with the media in advance, working with the local DAV chapters. You know, there's DAV chapters all across the United States.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. We got, three or four chapters right here in the local area.
Yeah.
We've got some volunteers out of the trailer today. There's four chapters here locally, right? We have volunteers out of the trailer right now today from local chapters. So she works with the local chapters, helping set up and doing all the advance work. So when we arrive, we're able to just do what we need to do. Part of it is doing this. Part of it is standing around the airplane, signing autographs. We had a group from your academy this morning, a whole group of kids out there, and I'm telling them the story of the Doolittle Raid. Because next week we're going to be at the Doolittle Raiders' 71st and final reunion at Fort Walton Beach.
How many are left of those guys?
Four.
Wow.
Four alive. We lost Tom Griffin back in February, so there's... And Bobby Height, his health does not allow him to travel anymore. So there's only three that can still travel. And sometime later this year, at a date to be announced, the Raiders privately will open that bottle of 1896 Hennessy Cognac, the year Doolittle was born, with their goblets, and they'll drink their final toast.
Your map making me choke up here. Let's hear something from Lynn before I get weepy-eyed when you bring
well,
up something like that, because that really hits in the heart when you talk. These guys have dedicated their life.
Well, when they launched off the aircraft carrier that morning, they were all volunteers, and they all knew that they did not have enough fuel to reach China. They were getting there in the middle of the night. Weather was going to be working against them. They were going to be having headwinds. They knew taking off that they had very little chance of surviving that mission. They would most likely wind up either in the South China Sea or being shot down over Japan. They expected to lose half the airplanes. But every man volunteered, and the reserve crews were trying to buy their way on, trying to bribe their ways on, but yet they still went mission before self. And that is the story of the American veteran. And that's the story that the American public has got to never forget. It's the mission before self. Right now, today, I know you just spent some time in Iraq. In Afghanistan, those young people over there, people say, well, the young people today are not like they were. I disagree. The young people today, it's in the American military, have the same commitment that the veterans did in 1920 in World War I, they did in World War II, they had in Korea and Vietnam of my generation, and today over in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Larry, it gives new meaning and when you're in harm's way of the true term of a serious situation. It's not being able to find the TV remote.
It's not like in the movies.
That's not serious. Mm-hmm. It's serious when people are shooting at you. You're taking off in an airplane in a pitching sea and knowing you're not having enough fuel. And it's hard times fixing to hit you.
Well, yeah, these guys, but mission before self was so important that they all still went. And much to everybody's surprise, most of them survived the mission. And it's been one of the greatest traditions in the American military is the reunion each year of the Doolittle Tokyo Raiders. And we are fast losing them. The youngest is 92. The oldest is 97. And so that's why they've decided this will be their final reunion next week. And they have been tremendous supporters of the disabled American veterans. Last year at Oshkosh, we had two of the Doolittle Raiders with us up there. And we did a program on the Warbirds in Review. And out of the wild blue, before they left, they presented us a large check. I forget the exact amount, $1,500 donation out of their funds to the DAV because they feel what the DAV does for veterans is so important.
That's speaking of the DAV and the setup and the logistics, Lynn, tell us a little bit about what you do to help provide information of this very, very worthwhile organization.
Well, like Larry said, we have a heart for veterans, and what we do is get out there and really try to spread the word, who we are and what we do and how we can help. Everybody out there can stop by and see us and find a way to help a veteran.
What would be the easiest way for us as the general public to get information on you, other than, I guess, the ultimate website? Do you have a really active website?
Well, the best website to find out information about the DAV, pretty much any information you want to know, is to go to dav.org. That's dav.org. And you can find all the information about chapters in all the states, cities across the nation. And any question you have, and if you have a question that you can't find the answer to, there's a toll-free number you can call and get the answer to your question.
Well, I'll tell you this: we're gonna kind of cut this interview short at this point because we have a lot of other things that are fixed to happen. But would you be so kind as to come back? Are you going to be here for the week?
We'll be here all week long. We'd be happy to, Ben.
At
your convenience, or if you'd like to come out to the airplane, we can talk about there.
Well, it'll almost be like you're there because we'll take you up in the airplane and show you some insides, the internal workings. But it's such a worthwhile organization and a group, and your spirit and your excitement is just contagious. The contagion is what we do here at Sun and Fun. And if you're not here, be here at least in your living room, and we'll see you next interview.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.